One way to cope with conflict and controversy is with music.
Officers, why do you have no guns on?
This is Lisa Berry, and that is just one of the songs from the Seven Last Words of the Unarmed that was debuted by the Men's Glee Club at the University of Michigan in November of 2015. And was commissioned by Eugene Rogers, who at that time was the director of the Men's Glee Club, and now is director of choral activities and conductor of the chamber choir at the University of Michigan, and is joining us now here on 89.1 WEMU. Welcome. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
For those who may not be familiar, tell us about this. Is it a composition, a performance piece? How would you refer to it?
Sure. Actually, I had the wonderful privilege of premiering it and championing the work, but Joel originally wrote this work out of his own grief and out of his way to process what was happening so much in the media in 2014 and 2015 that he never intended it for it to be performed. He was struck by Shirin Bargi, who's an Iranian-American journalist in New York, struck by her Last Words project, that she began to tweet images and the last words and correspondences of unarmed black men. And Joel, at that time, was studying Haydn's seven last words from the cross, and something in him figured, just, you know, as a way to process, he used the sort of the text structure of Haydn's composition and then Shirin Bargi's last tweets of these last correspondences and created this multi-movement work for chamber, strings, piano, and TTBB chorus.
And you're talking about Atlanta-based composer Joel Thompson, correct?
Yes, absolutely, who's currently now at Yale University pursuing his doctorate in composition.
So watching this, and we will definitely put a link to the entire thing on our WEMU website, this was done 5 years ago, and it seems like it's almost more relevant now than it could have been then.
Yeah. You know, it's the part that's the hardest for me in some ways. You know, I feel sometimes I'm honored to see the level of excitement and it's become really in the classical world. It's become sort of an anthem, a song of comfort. But it saddens me, right, to think about that we're back here again, you know, 2015, 2014, where all these situations for the most part happened, except for Amadou Diallo. It's sad that we're back here. And hopefully with this new Black Lives Matter movement that we'll be moving to a new day where we don't have to have another sequel to the Seven Last Words of the Unarmed from 2015.
One observation I had watching and listening to it is the message and the words are just gut-wrenching, but the music is beautiful. Was that the intention?
Yes. Well, Joel tried to make sure every text, like any good composer, every text has its own compositional technique, from the Bachian fugue that you hear in one of the movements to the aleatoric section of Oscar Grant to sort of this It's Not Real musical theater, Debussy impressionistic color that you hear in that moment. So he tries to use different compositional techniques to depict the Little Mermaid theme that we know, which is the armed man that's all the way back to the Renaissance, that is a kernel that's used throughout the work as well. So it's compositionally brilliant. And so, yes, there's some fire. I mean, it's heart-wrenching, it's excited, it's angry. It's all of that, I think, within the seven movements.
One of the songs that really moved me was, What Are You Following Me For?
Yes. That's the Trayvon Martin movement, and that is the Bachian sort of fugue, the chase that you hear. That's a dark fugue, right? And in the end, it builds up to the actual shot that always catches the singers. Every time we do it, it catches us off guard, as well as the audience.
How did you conduct this and stay composed at the same time? I'm watching how you presented it at the University of Michigan, the Men's Glee Club. They're standing face to face, young men of all different races and ethnic backgrounds and musicians, and they're facing each other and singing these powerful words. How did you keep it together? How did they keep it together?
Yeah, that's, I have to be frank, I think the hardest, you know, part of my work with any ensemble is being performers, right? That you must divorce yourself from your own opinions when you're performing, that your job is to completely embody the words and the subject matter of the music and the composition and the text. So that's part of the training that with all of my ensembles, but I think the hardest movement for any of us, I have to tell you, was the Oscar Grant movement, "You Shot Me." Mm. To have, and underneath that, the singers are humming the Lomar May theme in the style of a spiritual, while you get the chest hits of "You Shot Me." That never got easy, I'm not going to lie. Mm. Conducting that movement, feeling that constant shock from shock to anger of Oscar Grant, "You Shot Me," those words, I must admit, it's the hardest thing probably that I've done ever conducted in my life.
And I will tell you the one that moved me the most as a mother of two sons. And then I know Marcus Peterson, and he sang the song, "Mom, I'm Going to College." And to know him and then to hear the emotion and to be the mother of two sons myself who going to college wasn't unexpected thing. I mean, when I grew up, you were going to college, but this was
absolutely
from a rare experience, and to be so lucky to know Marcus and to hear him sing it, wow, that just really struck me.
Amadou Diallo, those were his words, he spent so much time raising money on the streets of New York to reach his dream. And I have experience of, I know his mother, she attended the premiere of the documentary as well as the full orchestra version. And she said, "Eugene," he called me with so much excitement, "Mom, I finally did it. I got my letter. I got the money. I'm going to go." And that was her last call with him. And so that movement is actually one of hope. I told the guys, this is not one of sadness. This is one of hope, because he called her with much excitement. But that's a heart-wrenching moment, I have to say, hearing those words, and one that most of my students, regardless of their background, regardless of their political beliefs, every single one of them could relate to those words.
And what is the music we hear at the end of Seven Last Words of the Unarmed?
Gosh. That's, I think, what's so shocking. Those were Eric Garner's words, and right, and to have 5 years later, the sort of the scariness that those were also George Floyd's exact words. And that's, if you know the Seven Last Words of Christ, when Christ says, "Into thee I commend my spirit," it's why Joel said it with "I can't breathe." But my gosh, it's also been very reminiscent, scarily so, right, to think those words were also George Floyd's last words. That movement is striking. It's you hear a drone, you hear almost a Burgundian drone, right? Underneath this very hollow, almost like melodic material that then becomes almost piercing in dissonance with "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," the iteration of that over and over again. It's again, powerful and timely and sad all at the same time.
And now there's a movement and a website, and where can people go to find out more and see this?
Sure. SevenLastWords.org is the website created by myself and the University of Michigan in collaboration with the law school and the School of Education to provide factual information about each of the cases, factual information about police reform and policing in America, and educational resources if people want to watch the documentary or use it in their places of worship, schools, homes, to help work through some of these issues, not just policing, but also implicit bias and racism that exists in our country. It's a helpful resource. We didn't want to just sing the music. We wanted to give people the opportunity to use it as a way to help them cope and move to a better place.
And again, you commissioned this for the Men's Glee Club at the University of Michigan 5 years ago. Have you performed it lately, or do you anticipate performing it again moving forward?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So Joelle, through much demand from around the country, wrote an SATB version, or adapted an SATB version, and my professional ensemble called Exigence just premiered the SATB version in February. So I have done it recently with another ensemble. And that now will pick up a lot of traction, because now that it has become somewhat a classical theme song right now, a lot of choirs, and now that it's also available for mixed voices, which we know is a whole larger world, that will pick up a whole nother, I think, performance record. And so it's a powerful work, and I hope people will consider performing, listening, or using the resources on their own.
Eugene Rogers, Director of Choral Activities and Conductor of the Chamber Choir at the University of Michigan, thank you so much for bringing this powerful piece to our consciousness and talking to us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an honor to be here with you.